Although we're involved together and looking at sort of corporate things and listening to what God's saying in terms of the way forward, we never have, and by the grace of God never will, lose sight of the individuals, people we need to be praying for and caring for, wherever they may be. I want to just break in, and I want us to pray. Where's Lucy? You come and lead us in prayer for Mabinti. And I want us to also pray for Dennis. You know, he's dealing with this leukemia thing. He's had to go back into hospital. So let's just stand together. I think it's an important thing. It's us that at any moment we step aside from the things that are preoccupying us, because our care first has got to be for what God wants and for his heart that he gives us for one another. So very key point and stage for Mabinti. Lead us in prayer. Just tell us the situation.
Yeah, so Mabinti's full term now, and she's got preeclampsia, so she's, which is a thing about blood pressure in pregnancy. So we've been praying for her throughout, and now it seems like she might be going into labour. So we just want to really pray that she has a safe birth.
Yeah. And this is against the background of having lost
a baby very late, the last time.
And for those of you who don't know, Mabinti is...
So Mabinti's Mohammed's wife. Mohammed and Mabinti run the Panduri work in Sierra Leone, and obviously are very... you know, members of the team in Sierra Leone.
Okay,
yeah. Cool. So, Father, we pray for your protection on Mabinti and this child. We pray that you will undertake for her to be cared for safely, that you would put your hand all around everything to do with her birth and allow this child to be delivered, and for Mabinti to be safe and well, for the child to be... protected by you as she's born into this world, and for her really just to be guarded over by you. We call upon you for every lack there to be made up for by you, Lord, every danger to be covered over by you. Thank you, Lord, that this is why you came. You came for redemption and justice, and Lord, we pray for that to be active in this situation with Mabinti and Mohammed and this child. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
And Lord, we lift Dennis before you at this time. Lord, we just pray your presence upon him and Rachel at this time. Lord, that you would grant a healing and an overcoming of these byproducts and issues and concerns around blood and rashes and temperatures. Oh, hallelujah. You are the divine healer. You are the God of gods. We just lift them into your presence now. Pray, Lord, for your healing, for a great and glorious victory and deliverance in this time and in this situation. Hallelujah. Lord, let your peace be upon them right now. Yes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It's a privilege, isn't it, that we... do take your seat. By the grace of God, we can never afford to lose that. You know, we're about a variety of things together, but that I remember times before when we've been together and we've just had to break in, and way back, some of you won't remember. Well, I mean, I'm really going back. The time when we had to pray through the night because of the situation in Sierra Leone. And that was an amazing time. Before the days of great communication, and we got some message. I can't remember the detail now, they were on the run and hiding in a cave or something like that. Or it's always going to be pretty sort of way out if it's to do with Richard Cole. Nothing was ever normal with him. Yeah, oh dear. All right, well, what I want is just take a few minutes just to look together as we have this opportunity. We are saying, and I shared with you yesterday, I'm sharing heart about that obvious something God's doing about broadening and increase. And there are things that we think that we have a part in, and there are things which, frankly, we just look at it and say, this is the Lord's doing, it's marvellous in our sight. The problem is, there are a number of things that are happening. Some we're kind of aware of together, and others are because it's happening because God is leading individuals amongst us. And it's increasingly, I mean, it may just be my decrepit deterioration, but I can't contain all the time the things that are happening. But I don't think it's that. I think it's because there's things happening on every hand. And I think it's very important, not so much to catch every detail, but to have an understanding of just the significance of what God's doing at this time. And particularly in the light of what we sense he's saying to us and what is the call on us, which we were talking about yesterday on strengthening the stakes. So we won't all be involved in all these things. But, you know, if I'm related to you and God's doing something, then I'm somehow connected to it. And that's the way I'd like it that we be. We can't all have all the detail, know every involvement, but that sense of being engaged in it. So Richard and Lucy are kind of into a new departure. This is things reaching into the community in areas of need. Where's Richard? Hiding in plain sight again. Come and just tell us, Rich, a bit about that.
All right. Very exciting time for us. We're about to embark on something new. It's called the Mockingbird Project. And as some of you are aware, we're registered foster carers with Barking and Dagenham. And over the past few years, we've worked mainly with mothers and babies. And many of you will know Curtis, an angel, who was our last placement friend now. She was with us for 3 years. And so our sort of time sort of ceased as foster carers, because then she lived with us in, as a place of sort of leaving care. But more recently, Lucy's been involved, as you know, doing a whole raft of things. And one of them has been about developing training, really, for foster carers with mothers, for mothers and babies in particular. And out of that, and out of ongoing discussion, we find ourselves now going back to panel on Tuesday this week. So we'll be at the town hall to go before the fostering panel again, because you have to do that quite regularly. But we've been asked to head up a new project in the borough. I'll let Lucy explain a bit more about it. Go on,
all
tell
right.
Everyone.
So the Mockingbird Project is a kind of national pilot project where, because a lot of foster carers are quite isolated and the children they look after don't really have a wider family network, they group them together and have a kind of central family that doesn't have their own placement, but kind of acts like kind of grandparents, as it were, or auntie and uncle, for those maybe 6 to 8 families. And they do kind of sleepovers with the children and shared meals and first port of call for issues that arise. And to me, that's a house group. So the borough, when I went to see the borough about the research, they actually did say to me, would you consider being a hub leader for a Mockingbird Project specifically for parent and child foster carers? And I said, no, won't do that. I'm working, you know. And I came away and I felt God saying, that was interesting. Conversation. Didn't actually hear you ask me about that. And we prayed about it. I really felt it was like what God was saying, and very, very timely, really. So yeah, we're going to have a go at that. And it just feels like this weekend, we just wanted to say something, because that is our individual vision, but I want to see that, we want to see that as kind of like one of the gates, you know, for people to come in. It's not just our vision that we're going to do individually. We want to do that as part of the corporate vision, and see how we can create some team around that as well. So it's our new house group. Yeah.
Interesting, isn't it? Yeah, they're not running a house group in the church now. See. No, there must be backsliding. It's exciting. And God is opening these doors of influence and doors of opportunity to fulfill the calling of being light in the darkness and salt in the earth. And as Hugh was saying a little while ago, you need the fruit of the tree, not just the leaf. And we are hungry for people to come. The best thing we can ever do for anybody is to lead them to Jesus. And we're looking at all these different ways and approaches in that. So there's some things we do together, some things that different ones go off and do. And there's so many things happening, I think it would take too much time to talk too much about it, but we'll just give a little flavour of it as different ones are engaged in different areas. Penny was talking to me, and she's going for a new post, same sort of area. But, you know, when you stop and think, in her role is basically involved in running the PGCE course for primary school teachers, with a huge opportunity to bring kingdom principles, to actually impart something, even to the point of helping to direct the curriculum in a thing. And I think, thank you, Lord. Because if Penny's there, I'm there. We're there in these things. I think it's good to take a moment to stop and to celebrate and see the things that God's doing. Nathan was telling me, Nathan, tell us about the latest things on this, the knife crime and the funding and the entry, potentially the re-entry into the on for the switch expedition.
So there's a few different things there. So just up on the switch expedition.
So we run on the switch expeditions, which is the alternative provision for young people not doing well in school, and we ran the program for 2 years. And at the end of that 2 years, I went back to schools. I heard that the local authority provision, which had been our main competition, was closing down. So I thought, oh, the door's really opening for us. But I didn't manage to sell to any schools. So the door closed. And I was in one meeting with a school where I felt I heard the door slam shut. I heard it creak and slam, I felt. I can't tell you now whether that was spiritually or just in my mind, I don't know. But... And so I felt perhaps that God was shutting the door on it, which wasn't really comfortable. And I think I've mentioned to you before in a prayer meeting that, you know, I felt it's something that God had given us to do, and we were doing some good work with those young people. We had access to young people. We got a good Ofsted. We got through Ofsted. It was good. And some very interesting work with parents as well, which was something I wasn't expecting to come out of it. But anyway, God shut the door. And so I felt God say to me to be still, which isn't really my natural position. And so even one of my members of staff that isn't following Jesus kept reminding me and kept saying to me, you don't sound very still. And then, so I was resting it and struggling. And interesting, whilst we didn't have that, then we got some Home Office funding to do some gangs work, which came out of really our history of mentoring and our work with these young people. So we got a small amount of funding for the gangs work, which meant that I could keep my member of staff that kept reminding me that I wasn't very still, which was good. And then I sent all the head teachers a Christmas card and just really trying to work out, if God shut the door, I don't want to force it open. But if it's ajar, you know, maybe I can just, you know, maybe a little push. And I'd said to Daniel in our SMT on Thursday, I said, yeah, I've sent this card to all the head teachers on Christmas. Took me considerable time, personal message in all of them. Very, very good of me. And I haven't had the time. I just can't get to following it up. And then I was reflecting on Friday night. And for one reason or another, when we were here Friday night, Johnny Blythe, who also works with me, had said to me, oh, door seems to shut, but maybe a window's opening. And I reflected on that, and I felt God said to me Friday night that he can open the door as surely as he shut it. And I realised that I've got 6 appointments with head teachers over the next week. And they've just, you know, and I haven't had time to chase those appointments. They've just come together through one reason or another, people hooking me up. And I had the first appointment on Thursday with a head teacher that I had never even bothered. Of all the schools that I targeted, 13 schools in Barking Dagenham, there's one school that I didn't even bother because I knew the head teacher was so against our program that it wasn't even worth talking to him. And he was the architect of the system that the local authority run our competitive program. And he was the first person I had the meeting with. And I'd said to his staff, I'll be lucky to get any money out of Jez. He's a tight arse. And so for the gangs work that we've got, we need schools to contribute. So he was up to contributing to that. And he said to me, oh, there's a gap in the market, which is exactly the words that I've used in relation to alternative provision. And he explained how the borough program that I thought was shutting down last year was actually shutting down this year. And so I was perhaps just a year ahead. So we'll see what God does, but that's really interesting. And linked to that, shall I go on to say something about the gang stuff? So we had one guy come on our program last year, the Switch Expeditions program, and his cousin, his brother's best friend had been murdered in February 18. And he went into hiding because, and the police put a panic button in the house. There was obviously concerns, witnesses, and as they were involved. So he went into hiding, so we didn't have him at school much. And I was with the gangs, the Metropolitan Gangs Unit on Thursday, and just started to piece together some of the things. And I've, you know, always felt that we'd, you know, I think we're doing some wonderful work. I think our mentoring is really important. But just this week, things have started to come together. And so there was a guy, I'm going to jump back to that story. There was a guy that we mentored in 2015 who I see in Maysbrook Park, and different ones have shared for me stories about gangs and muggings in Maysbrook Park. And I figured that this lad that we mentored is part of that, because when I see him, he's with a certain group of people that I kind of identify. And so I started to hear about a particular gang which operates in this particular area, and so started to put those together. And then the gang is called the Pizza Town Boys, and the boy that we mentored, who we identified as a leader and wanted to help use him to develop to help lead other young people, is leading young people but into a life of crime at the moment. And that's really disappointing to me in terms of how we could have diverted him if we'd have had that funding. So I found out the other day that his brother had been stabbed, and they'd been evicted from the home because of his antisocial behaviour. And as a reprisal for that stabbing, they had killed someone, and the person they had killed was the boy who was coming to our programme. So I'm just realising we are on both sides of this conflict. Over the last few months, I've been working with a lady whose son was killed in December 16. And I gave a presentation this week to a tri-borough summit on serious youth violence, about 250 or 300 people there. And I was talking about how these young people need long-term interventions. And I spoke about an 11-year journey I've been through with one young person and spoke about the ups and downs of that journey. Quite extreme ups and downs. And I concluded that slide by saying, you might not see this as a success and it's not finished yet, we're 11 years in going, but he's not in prison, he's not dead, and he hasn't killed anyone. And I think for this particular young person, that's a success. And I said, long-term programs bring long-term successes, short-term programs bring short-term successes. And I flicked to a slide of a young person that had been on our mentoring program 3 years before, who we ran this big event, some of you might have been there, at the Crystal in Docklands. And this particular young lad we'd nominated for our U-Turn Award because he turned his life around so well. He was involved in, they called themselves the Portuguese Mafiosa, which isn't, it's not the mafia, that's just the name of their particular gang. So he was involved in that, and I think his family were involved in that. So, you know, it's historical, not quite organised crime, more gang membership. And I said how he turned his life around, but I was at a meeting with the borough after the summer where they look at their top 30 offenders in relation to serious youth violence, and he was on their top 30 list, and they took him off the list because he'd been deported. And you don't get deported for, you know, positive acts to the community. And so I finished my presentation, and the lady who I've been working with, whose son's... It's the audience, it always does it to me. And I've managed to tell the story a number of times without being emotional. Whose son was killed. She said, that's the boy that killed my son. And... it's a powerful story, but it's more than a powerful story. These are young people, and when we talk about long-term interventions and we talk about investing in young people, we see the consequence if we can't make that investment. And so I was thankful to God that I entitled that slide Short-Term Success, because had I not been in that other meeting, I would have spoken about that young person as a success. That would have been horrendous. So I'm thankful to God for that. And there's just the way in which God seems to be bringing things together and magnifying the message and the heart that we have. One of the other things that a superintendent that was there spoke about, and he introduced himself. He said, he was from Birmingham. He said, but from one of the three boroughs, you might be able to guess which. And the only clue was he had a little cap on the top of his head. So I presume that he was from Redbridge. And he said, when we're talking about serious youth violence, we can't ignore the impact that faith has to play in turning young people away from serious youth violence. And the amount of young people that get saved, it didn't say saved, come to faith, and that's what changes their life. And I thought, well, that feels like a significant door opening in terms of us moving more confidently into recognising the active and recognised role of faith. So when I was talking with the chief executive of Barak and Dagenham after, he picked up on that one point. And so I followed up with the superintendent to say, well, can you give me some evidence of this? Because I just wonder if faith is a solution, if faith is the recognised solution as recognised by the police force. That would be interesting. So it feels like God's opening doors for us.
I sometimes like to reflect, if Jesus came to town, would he come to the meeting on a Sunday morning? Or would he be in the park? That seems to be the pattern that he showed us when he walked this earth. We're involved. We're serving the community. We are, by God's grace, enjoying the great privilege of being those who are seeking to be light in the darkness and salt in the earth. Is there any greater calling than that? You know, and if we went on, we'll do a few more things and then we'll run out of time, but I am just I'm amazed at the variety of things that God is just doing. Some of them are what we might say it's more a sort of us together. Others, like Richard and Lucy were just saying, it's clearly something God is opening up and a door to them. And of course, that's on top of the exciting and wonderful thing that Lucy's been engaged in doing with the teenage mums there in Sierra Leone. And I love that. I love that story. I love the picture of the mothers and babies that are alive. I mean, these are very, very impactful visual things. But you know, the thing that probably thrilled me the most was when Lucy shared the words that she'd picked up in different prayer times and the outcome. Do you remember that table she showed? I thought, God has given us the opportunity to be involved, even in praying through. We're not in Sierra Leone there with her, but to be part of that, I think, wow, yeah, really lifts us from the awful futility of vain religion into something that's a powerful expression of God in the earth. So one of the things that we're looking at doing, just to mention some up and coming, is in addition to Doulos, as an extension of Doulos, looking to see if it's now time to run what we're calling a community impact training time for people who might also want to learn about getting into it. Because these things don't just happen. You know, we've heard of if you think, let's come back to Richard and Lucy, they did the fostering thing for years. Nathan's talking about an 11-year thing. If we look at some of the things we're doing in the community, that's because for 20 years we've been working away, doing little things and picking up snippets and taking it from there. So that's another thing that we're looking at doing. The other thing is, you know, we talked a little while ago about new funding for the hub, community hub, and extending that. Well, Nick's now on board, particularly with a view to reaching a different section of the community. We've not brought him on board to reach into the community of older people or mature mothers with their children. Surprisingly, but to really reach in, and he's doing work at the moment to see and look at ways in which that might happen. At the same time, of course, interestingly, the work has started in the park. The funding is all there. The final bit of it was coughed up by the council, who have no money and couldn't give any money. Got so taken up with what God was doing there. Well, they don't know. They don't say it's God's doing. We know what God's doing. That they said, oh, we have to get a part of this. And so that's actually starting and it's actually happening. I've come and just share something about what's happening in that sort of wider community sense.
John, could you just say a bit more about what Nick's doing in the park? I'm not clear.
I haven't got a clue. But as they say, but I know someone who does.
I'll start with Nick then. We had some funding, and part of that funding is to do an out of hours program, so beyond the kind of daytime school time hours type thing, and we gave Nick a very clear remit. We said, he was talking to John one day, saying, I'm wondering what's next for me. John said, oh. So he phoned me up and said, I think we've got the person for the job. We met with Nick. We said, could you do something? No idea where it should be, what it should look like. Do you fancy it? And when I'd meet with Nick each week, he'd be going like, I really don't know. And I said, and I can't direct you, because if I direct you, I will lead you into middle-aged, middle-class thinking. Yeah, let's just see. And so I just told him to go and speak to a bunch of people. And in the last couple of weeks, it's just been amazing for me to talking to Nick. He's like, I get it. I see it. Talking to Fernando, talking to different ones, talking to Chris, talking to, I can start. And he's come and saying, I can see what this thing could look like. And I don't know if you know, but Nick Brewer knows everybody in the whole of Christendom who is under 30. It's just amazing. And he went to Kingsley Hall the other day there. It was another community place. He said, the chef is the uncle of my mate. And I said, Nick, how many mates do you have? You know, the guy that's working with Brandon, oh, that's my mate. I know him really well. And he knows him, and he knows... And I'm just excited because I see God doing something different and in a different world that just needed that, just the right person. And I think Kim, I don't know if you know, but she's really felt God speak to her about this prescribing thing that she does in her professional life. So one of the things she's aware of is that people get prescribed drugs that are actually either not helpful or the way that they are taken aren't helpful. And a relational model. So she's going to start something at the Hub that is around a relational model of just sitting down with people in terms of reviewing the drugs with them, particularly around respiratory issues. That one, breathing. But Hannah too is in that world of profession. And Sally said to me last week, suddenly these people have just come and said, this is health at the Hub, the stuff Judy's looking at. And she said it was exciting because people were coming to her with, this is what this could look like. And, you know, we've talked about these things for a long time. I think when I was back in Greatfields, I really wanted a medical centre because I felt it was like the route through. And God's just doing it, and he's raising up people to do it. I think the park thing, interestingly, has opened a lot of doors in terms of the borough, as being people who can make things happen. And Sally was saying, she was at a thing the other day there, and one of the borough folk was saying, so how do you get these volunteers to really do things, to really... And I think it's just God doing something, really. I have the privilege of meeting with Chris Naylor, who's the chief executive of Barker and Dagenham, kind of four times a year now on his instigation. And I always go with a list. But this, and he saw my list this time. I just met him last week, and he saw the list, and he said, oh, you got a list. I said, well, I always come with a list. And he said, I've just got something I want to talk about. And I said, well, okay, no, you do your list first. And I was kind of like one point down on my list, and he said, yeah, that kind of relates to what I'm about to talk about. That. I said, look, just what do you want to talk about? And he just basically laid out where he was thinking, where they're at in terms of the council strategy, how it works. And my challenge back was, that's lovely, but where's the civil society in that? Where's faith in that? Where's, you know, you need that strategy too. And he said, yeah, and that's what's missing. And then basically put an offer on the table of, would you pick it up? And a bit like Lucy initially said, no, I can't bother. And I literally said, no, it's too political, it's too tiresome, don't have the energy. I said, but I do have a strategy that you should use rather than the one you're planning. And kind of laid that out to him. And so when I came back and I was talking to John, he said, I think you need to say you will do it. And so I kind of just emailed him afterwards. But and I don't know what that'll look like. It certainly won't be us running a CVS, which is what I was clear on. But I do think there's something, an opportunity for something. And, you know, we'll see in that. And then just finally, I think now some of you know I've been involved with the kind of Centre of Social Justice and Family Policy for like a number of years, really. And there's a whole development of the family hubs, and did a number 10 roundtable and all these different things. And I've just been given the privilege of being able to speak about the impact of family and church, and like how you wrap around it as community. But we didn't have anything to show for it. You know, we had like a tiny little thing in Dagenham. But kind of felt to take something forward and just couldn't quite work it through. And we've connected with a church in Yeovil who are doing a bigger version of what we're doing. So kind of what we used to do in terms of Lifeline projects and the families, but they're doing it currently as a church. So we've been meeting to see if we could develop a strategy and just feel like God's given us something, which is pretty much about how does the church wrap around services to provide community. And we haven't got the model fully planned, and I feel really relaxed in that because I think God will help us in it. And their heart is the same as ours, which is about mobilizing the church to be community, not even projects, just to be community. And the guy's, Lord Farmer, his policy advisor, because he's leading on it with Fiona Bruce, and his policy advisor, she said to me, I'm really, really sorry, but I've only got you 15 minutes at the National Family Help Conference in February. I said, 15 minutes for what? She said, well, to present where you're at and what you're thinking. And 15 minutes is a long time, you know. And I think I was conscious of what Hugh was saying last night about what we've got to be careful we don't give away and what we do and all the rest of it. But the thing that I think that's brought us and Yeovil together is it's about mobilising the church to be who they are. And they've got a lot of connections and we've got different connections, but it just feels like one of these ones we didn't ask for. It's kind of kept coming back. And, you know, and Lord Farmer, we meet in his office because it's really fancy office in central London. It's lovely. I love meeting. It's like my London office now. But he popped in, and he always pops in when we're meeting there, and, you know, just said, like, it's, and it, his parting words were, you know what, it's all about relationship. That's what really changes things. And I'm thinking, that isn't that been our message for 40 years? And at such a time as this, God enables us to kind of potentially impart that and train that and equip others in that very thing. So, yeah.
I can't remember whether Amanda said this to me or when she was speaking yesterday, but the thing that grips me, occasionally they sell some coffee and what have you there, but it's like it's increasingly a place, a friendly place where people come with their questions, with their queries, to feel received, and a number of you are involved in that. But it's another important place of stating we're here. We're here to convey and communicate God's love in a relevant way in life. And I'm just saying, I mean, there are many other things. Even if I look around here, I could spend more time picking out different things that different ones are involved in. But I think it gives us a flavour that there are things here that it's not we sat down and planned it. God is opening doors and leading us into things in a significant way. At the same time, haven't we had some great times in the presence of God? In that week of prayer, and sometimes when we're together to worship on a Sunday, I mean, it just seems wonderful. I mean, to enjoy God's presence together, it's a very, very precious thing. And then the testimonies. I mean, what about that testimony, Raphael, the other day? Yeah. I mean, real, you know? Nick was telling me afterwards, Raphael was a bit nervous. And before, when Nick was talking to him, he said, the only problem is when I get nervous, I tend to swear. So Nick's kind of... But it's real, isn't it? Yeah, the testimonies of God's healing and provision is just one. Let's just thank him, shall we? Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we just give you thanks. Lord, we just bless your holy name. Lord, we dare to say the lines have fallen unto us in pleasant places. Yeah, Lord, we know the battles, we know the knockbacks, but Lord, to be called to serve you and to demonstrate you, we give you thanks. Lord, we thank you for every door that you've opened and every one which is yet to be opened. We thank you, Lord, that you spoke and you've also are bringing it to pass, that we will impact and demonstrate in a relevant way as a way of seeing people coming to know you and establishing your light and life and righteousness in this world. Let's just thank him. Let's just give him thanks. Let's just express our thanks. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. And even, Lord, as we thank you, we recognize that you're speaking to us about looking into the future, looking deeper into your heart, catching more of your compassion. Lord, it's not about many things. It's not about doing more. It's about experiencing more of your heart. Cause us more than ever, Lord, to be a people that have to say the love of Christ constrains me. Have your way on our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Take your seats, Phil. He's got this little part-time job, a bit of sort of school teaching kind of thing. Seems to spend a lot of time doing it.
I was just being nosy, really. So when you come away for a weekend like this, you hear a lot of things, and I don't know about you, but my head's spinning a little bit. Sort of Hugh stands up and just, you know, chucks a few things out, doesn't he? So... We've heard lots. We've heard John sharing heart. We've heard Hugh bring some pretty significant prophetic direction to us. And my question was really a nosy one, which was I wanted to hear more from you about what has been distilling out from your thoughts, discussions over the weekend. And I think that can be really helpful when we hear some of that, because for some of you, if you're a little bit like me, you can be a little bit slow at kind of working out what it means for you particularly. Hearing others distill it out can help you process it and take something away. So what I wanted to suggest was that we just take a couple of minutes now, and I want to hear from some of you, but I'm not going to put you right on the spot immediately. Don't want to force it either, so don't feel under compulsion to share, but just take a couple of minutes with the person or a couple of people next to you and just think about what you've heard. And how is it changing or changed either perhaps a mindset, a heart position, or maybe even it might have already begun to stimulate some actions for you about things that you know you just need to start moving into? Yeah? So it's kind of a sense of, is it a heart position that's changed? Has it led you to repent in some way? Is it a mindset change? Or is it something where you're getting a clear direction and action? And then once you've done that for a couple of minutes, I think if you've got something that you think could be helpful for others to hear to help them in their processing and learning, then I'd like you to come up and just share. We might not be able to fit everyone in now, and that's great. So I'd rather have more people volunteer than not, and we have to stop it. But don't be shy, you know. Just make sure if you think it could be useful, share it. Avril, was there anything you wanted to add to that? No. Okay, so let's take about five minutes, John. Is that okay? 5 minutes, just in pairs or perhaps in threes, fours around you, and let's do that. Me, what really stirred was when Hugh was talking about that thing of David sort of standing on the hills looking at Djibouti, and you know, having that sense of what God put in his heart about that place. And it reminded me of where I am in school and what opportunity I have there. And recently I've been dealing with lots and lots of stuff coming at me, so sort of, you know, kind of legal things and lots of things that can just snarl you up and tie you up. And I just again began to get that sense of excitement about standing before my school and even the education system and saying, God, what do you want here? And you know, creating for me, you know, I had this thing of creating the best place to learn in, the best place to work in, and the best place to partner with. And you know, I feel like that's something that really excites me, a place that when children come in, their lives can be transformed when staff come in, their lives can be transformed, and that organisations outside would be so excited by what's going on that they would want to lend their expertise and resources to that, so it becomes a really exciting place to be. So, and the other thing that stood out to me was when he talked about David having that strategy of attack to get into the city and knowing it well enough that he knew about the, what was it, the water course, and then knowing how to kind of, you know, send someone in to smuggle up the inside and then attack. And I thought, so I've got the kind of picture of what I want, but it's now about really seeking God on the strategies to get there, so it doesn't just become pie in the sky. It's about grounding it now. And I was praying at I think it was in the summer before I came back to work, and asking God for help around work and things. And one of the things I felt he asked me to pray for was a coach who could help me with that. And it's just interesting that in the last couple of weeks, it's just all fallen into place. And this one of my governors, I spoke to him and said, I think it could be beneficial so I could learn some of the strategies for developing this. And he said, right, I know some city firms who might be interested. So he fired out some emails, and literally within a day, he said, there's someone who wants to work with you for free. It's the ex-managing director of the London Underground, and you know, he can come in and he can work with you. And then the next minute, this guy's emailing me and says, well, when do you want to meet? So on Wednesday, I had the opportunity to meet him for the first time, and it turns out he's a Christian as well. So for me, I'm thinking, you know, God, you know, that picture excites me, help me. And I'm getting a sense of faith, and it's something that I want to partner and open up to, you know, you as well, because you can feed in you into what I'm doing, and some of the things that you have as you're praying, it might just be the thing that unlocks it. So that's kind of what, yeah, is stirring from me, and there's a lot more to process from that.
I think it was this thing of living stones, particularly, and I don't know, I've got into dance lately. And it's one of the, I know you're never too old. And I think one of the things, well, if I can sort of like demonstrate, I want you to be sympathetic towards me, because I'm white, I've got no rhythm. But if I'm a living stone, and I'm saying I'm dancing away, and I'm going like this, but I'm just looking this way, but behind me, somebody else is dancing, because they're alive, they're a living stone. And I'm dancing away like this, and I turn round, and I'm seeing him dancing, and then my dancing and his dancing, we change. And suddenly, my individual dance has been changed, his individual dance, and suddenly, we're swaying together, or whatever it is together you do, you know? And I think, again, this is the point. If you are a living stone, think like one. Be like one.
You sure? Hi. Right, for me, it's amazing. This weekend, these leaders' weekends, I love them. It's a recharging for the year, but also spending the time with all of you guys, and thank you for all the teachings. It's amazing. But God has been speaking to me again about work. Right, I'm trying to walk away from work, and God is still keeping me at work. And all the teachings that they has been presenting here is actually an instruction. How can I actually influence people at work? How can I actually bring God into my work situation? And I don't know how far I'm gonna get in my company. Doesn't make no difference. And I know I'm jumping into an adventure. And that's the beauty of this. You know, because we come here, we receive from God, and what an adventure we jumping into. But this partner with the vision, that's something that amazed me. You know, because you have to partner with God's vision to be able to receive and see the new Jerusalem. You have to partner with John's vision to be able to see what we want from the community. and God is using us as well. One day, somebody else is going to partner to the vision we have, or even now he is partnered with the vision we already carrying. So like Lucy and Richard, what a lovely vision, right? And we partner with him, and we're walking alone, perhaps not being in the practical, but we are with them. Thank you.
What's interesting about what Andy shared was that sense of individual responsibility. I think that was talked about before. But as we do the individual, that influence on the corporate, that's interesting.
It sort of builds on what Fernando was saying in terms of the balance between the individual vision and the corporate vision, and also that sense of building the wall together and the Nehemiah wall. And what I was struggling with was, you know, in terms of, and I'm aligning with myself with you, in terms of my particular work that God's called me into, and it doesn't seem to be feeding into Lifeline directly or into what we're doing in our community. And so I'm thinking, I'd originally conceptualized that wall as being around, you know, what we're doing as Lifeline in Barking and Dagenham, but I'm actually saying that actually the wall is about the New Jerusalem, and that we're not a satellite of that, we're actually a gate, and we're still bringing people in. So I think what we don't do is we don't dismiss our work or the places of influence that are, you know, for those of us who are not directly involved in what Lifeline and LCP or whatever are doing, but that we're actually seeing that we're all part of building the wall, we're all providing access points. So that was a revelation to me, actually.
So is there anyone else getting that sense of perhaps a false demarcation between work and who we are as a... Yeah, is that resonating with people? Yeah, good, good. Right, I'm going to go to T and then David.
I was just feeling very impacted when Nathan stood up, particularly, and afterwards just felt very thankful that we have this opportunity to serve in this community, and that I wouldn't be complacent about it, because sometimes I think we just think, well, it's been doing this for a year now, what's happening? But when we put all these things together and we hear about all these opening doors everywhere, it's just quite amazing. And I think things like the project Lucy's doing in Sierra Leone, she could have thought, well, I don't even live in Sierra Leone, how can I possibly do that? But it's taking the challenge that God gives you and saying, okay, God, how can I do that? And that if we don't step up, then there is a gap. There is a thing that Nathan's not doing. There's a hole that these children, youth, then are getting into other things, and we've missed it. So just that challenge.
Being prepared. So the phrase that came to my mind when I was just pondering over the last 3 days, 2 days, whatever it is double upgrade. I don't know if that's for me personally or for us as a church, but the idea that God sometimes marinades us and we dwell on things and we leave them and we forget about them, and then suddenly God at a random moment just plucks us out and says, right, now double upgrade. And because he's a faithful God, he prepares us for those moments. We may not think that. So some of you may be toiling in work and you're thinking you're going nowhere, and it's like you're hitting the same old problems again and again and again. But then you get an upgrade and you suddenly realize what God has been preparing you for. And I think that's certainly been true of my life in the past. And I think God is saying, just be prepared for a double upgrade. Not necessarily me personally, I don't know, maybe, but just all of us. And double, who knows, and maybe triple, maybe quadruple. God's the God of increase. He's the God of sudden decisions. And David marinated for 17 years. So there's, you know, some people marinating here, and you may think God has forgotten you. He hasn't.
Can I push for some more examples, perhaps around mindset change as well, or kind of where you're getting a sense around clear response?
So for me, the mindset change and the thing that I want God to do is to remind me that I think the best of all of you, that I've got your backs, so that as we deal with pastoral situations or as we look to do different things and people say things, I'm ready to say, hang on a minute, I know that person, they wouldn't say that, go back to them, but be sharp. So I suppose I'm looking for capacity to do my job, my church volunteering, be someone who looks after a home group and still be sharp and not feel tired.
I think there's two things that God's been speaking to me about that I think is also for us as a church. The first one is around compassion. That I had this really handy thing on the top of the tap for compassion that I could turn it off at the times when it wasn't convenient. And you could have it on Sunday mornings when someone says something amazing and you think, yes, God, you did that. Or praying for someone particularly, you think, yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray. And you wind up the tap open. But actually God's saying to take the top off the tap, to wind it open and take it off, to say that that's it, that's how it should be, that it is a time that we've got to be allowing him to control our lives in the way that compassion does, rather than us turn it on when it's helpful and nice. And you can think, oh, that's really good. And the second thing is around transformation for the church through being in the presence of God, and that we need to be more in the presence of God, and that we can see that, oh, we go to church on Sunday and the worship bit, that's the spending time in the presence of God for the week. And but I want us to be living in that presence, and I want us, as I want to do some stuff around us spending more time in, making time to spend time in God's presence without another agenda or without a list of things to do. But so those are the two things for me.
The great thing about publicly announcing these things is everyone can hold you to account on it. Right. There was a hand whipping up. Age before beauty, Nick, I'm afraid.
Hi. I was just thinking in terms of the transformation change. Avril and I were talking yesterday about possible housing options and accommodation, and I can think, because I do that as a job, I know all the reasons it won't work. But I was just thinking today, and we were chatting again this morning, and I was just sort of thinking, well, actually, if I know how it won't work, I also know how it will work, and trying to find a solution. So that was it.
Should we just pray for Gordon on that? Father God, we thank you for Gordon. We thank you that he's seen this. So by your Holy Spirit, we ask for a double upgrade, Father God, as David's just been saying. Father, we ask that you would give him wisdom and insight. Lord, that you would cut in beyond all his experience, but he'd be able to channel that and then see something new. We ask for something new in his vision and sight, Lord God. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 Amen.
Yeah, just when Hugh was talking about, yeah, not serving a vision, but partnering with a vision, I think that really just highlighted to me, I like being given tasks, you know, and I like doing that. But the idea of partnering is so much more, and it's really about taking ownership. And part of the reason I think I like being given tasks is because then I don't really have to operate in compassion that much. I can just sort of just do it, do you know what I mean? But I can see that God's really calling me to change that, and that there's just a new, yeah, kind of expansion in my heart, and that's gonna, yeah.
Okay, you heard it. If you've got any odd jobs that need doing.
I think on the alignment side of things, I felt God adjusted me on Friday night. So I think I saw things that I believe God has shown me. I think they are things that God has shown me. And I've seen the pain for people in that. But I've moved into kind of fix it mode. And the fix it mode because I couldn't do it, I was very clear who could do it. But because that wasn't happening, got frustrated, but then realised actually the frustration led to a seat of judgment, really. So I was very clear what people weren't doing that they should have been doing, and therefore judged them very definitely in that reality. And I think as God has shown me that on Friday night, I think I was able to then release that. And actually what God's done in it is actually helped me again see that it's his job. And as he calls us to these things that are beyond our practical solutions or practical ability, he will increase our hearts to be able to hold it before him, because he does it. And it's always got to be beyond us, otherwise it's just a natural social solution. And I just sense that that's very clearly God released that ball of whatever it was in me on Friday night, but I think it's something more for us that he'll take us into, where increasingly it will be beyond us. Whether it's a young person who could kill somebody or could die, it's all beyond us, but it's not beyond God. And he's going to teach us how to live in that trust of being beyond ourselves.
Okay, I think we do one more, and then can we spend a couple of minutes praying? You've got one as well. I can't refuse Dawn, can I? So we've got two more.
As John told you, I had a mindset change. When I came at the weekend, I was desperate because we had three situations where I think probably we were under somewhat of an attack, looking back on it, because everything was going out of control with three different situations, with Hermina, with a young lady called Marie who's got severe mental health issues, and with Anna at home. And I'd got to the point where I was doing things, but the heart wasn't there. And I said, God, I can't go on this way. I need your heart. And John prayed for me, and it was like the heaviness lifted and a new lightness came in its place. And then Nathan brought the thing about 11 years with this person. Now, we've had Anna with us, quite difficult young lady to live with, for 3 years, and I thought, that was 11 years. We can keep going. But also, the impossible is possible with God, and that, that's something that really God's... And the third thing, very quickly, was this thing about intimidation that's been coming through the weekend, and about our past not having to be our future. And I was badly intimidated at the age of 13, where... ballet of all places, this young lady told me she wanted to bash my face in because it was too pretty, and I left ballet because of it. Fast forward to now, and something happened in the now which provided further intimidation, and God spoke to me and said, you don't have to be intimidated any longer. So I just praise God for this weekend.
I think for me, it's I need to keep asking for that compassion, because if I haven't got that as a basis, I can't do anything.
Right, should we pray? Let's stand. And if you want to come and join in leading us in prayer, please just come up and be sharp, be quick, come and line up. But Father God, we thank you for this time. Lord, all the things that we've heard, your word that has been brought. And Father God, we stand here hungry, and we ask that you'd quicken our hearts, Lord God, but you'd sharpen our sense of responsibility to hold these things close to us, that we wouldn't be foolish and walk out of here and allow the breeze to blow it out of our hands or our hearts, Father God. So by your Holy Spirit, we ask for a sense of greediness about what you've given us this weekend, Father God. We stand here and ask that you would lay down those seeds, Father God, and you would cause there to be growth, Father. We call forth growth for each one of us here. As we've heard testimonies of mindset change, of stirrings, Father God, we want to walk together. We want to be part of each other's stories in this. Walking together in unity around you, seeing that new Jerusalem spring out in different ways, Father God, that there will be a river that flows, that we will be part of that stream Oh, Father God, would you come? Hallelujah. We wait on you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, we thank you that every word of God proves true. Lord, we thank you that as we've been talking this morning, we've been talking your words to one another, that we've been sharing what we believe you to have been speaking to us. And Lord, we're hungry to see those words come to pass. From talking about knowing that we need to have more compassion to specific things about changes in our places of work, each one of these things are what you have been speaking, taps that have no handles, that cannot be turned off. Lord, we would call those things into being right now, Lord, across this body, where we've heard people share things and they've stirred something in us. Lord, we would call those things into being right now. Lord, we cry out to you. Let's cry out to him together. This is something which God has given us. We lift up your name, Lord. We say, Lord, have your way. We are living stones. We are not stones that are set in a position that will not change. We will expand. We will decrease. We will do whatever you would have us do to make us the building that is where you will live by your Spirit. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name. We declare you are joining us together to become the place where you live by your Spirit. Be lifted up, O God. Kiyata bala dananda, shalom ala dananda, kiyata bala dananda.
So, Lord, we just ask that you would strengthen the stakes by increasing and enlarging our hearts. It's almost irrelevant, Lord, the things that we do. Lord, you may increase our capacity to do more, but we pick up and hear your word of a sharpening of vision, of an increase of compassion. And Lord, we say to you again, except you build the house, we labor in vain. And the house, Lord, that we're talking about building is this representation of you on the earth. First, being moved with compassion. So, Lord, we ask for that increase of anointing, that increase, that strengthening of the stakes by the new measure of your heart beating in our hearts. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for this time together with those that we love and love us. Most of all, Lord, thank you for your presence. Amen. Lunchtime.